Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And you're listening to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And as you might have heard in the news today, that yes, we have a pope, Habemus Papam. And we're going to talk about that from today, going into, you know, his background of Pope Leo XIV, who he is Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost. And we'll get into, you know, his background and some of the things that are on the internet regarding some of the published accounts there from various news outlets. And we'll get into also some of what he wrote and the other popes that he's following. He's Leo XIV, and we'll talk about the other popes, especially the one he followed, Leo XIII. So before we get on with the rest of the program, let's pray the Our Father together in thankfulness of us having the first American pope, and that we have in this year of hope that we'll have a great Pope with this Pope Leo XIV. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining me today and choosing to listen to me here on WTMR 800 AM on In His Sign Catholic Radio. I know you can easily tune in to whatever internet sources or on the TV or tune into another radio show. So again, I'm thankful that you're here. What I like to do is to give you my insightful commentary from a layman's perspective, but also I'm a lay Carmelite, and I'm going to, you know, give a little background to Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, who again is named himself Pope Leo XIV. With some background, well, we know he's the first American pope. He was just made into a cardinal in 2023, and I think it was September when he was made a cardinal. So it wasn't very long. His background: he's an Augustinian, and those of us who are from the Philadelphia area, we know about the Augustinians from Villanova University. And lo and behold, he comes from Villanova University. Now, I heard that he studied mathematics there, or he was good in mathematics. I have to double check on that. But so he is an alumnus of Villanova University. And so that's great news as far as locally here. We have, again, an American pope for the first time. So North America, and that's in following the footsteps of how we had the first Latin American pope, Pope Francis. And from what it seems, this selection of Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost as Pope Leo XIV is actually to follow up on Pope Francis's teachings and belief. And so one way that they're making it seem like that he chose Leo XIV as his name was because Pope Leo XIII was known as the warrior of social justice. And so let's go into the other Leos. So the other popes were named Leo the First, and he was Leo the Great. And in fact, the first popes that were named Leo were all canonized. The first one, Leo the Great, was back in the year 440. To 461. So he was a pope for 21 years and became canonized and is a saint and is a doctor of the church. the other Leo, the second, the third, and the fourth, they also became popes. And Leo the Great, he was, you know, he was actually, he met Attila the Hun, if you've heard of him, and also defined a doctrine of the incarnation at the Council of Chalcedon. So he's one of the few saints that's called the Great. We have Albert the Great, Leo the Great, Gertrude the Great, and Pope John Paul II is not formally called the Great, but there is a lot of people that call him the Great. I know I'm missing another person, another saint that's called the Great, but there's not many of them. And the other Leos, the next four Leos, Pope Leos, from Leo the Fifth through the Eighth, were not declared a saint, and their pontificate was really short. You know, from 1 year to 2 years to three or four, and then even Leo the Eighth, his papacy was contested. When we came to Leo the 19th, this is now taking us to the year 1049 to 1054. He was declared a saint, and he was known for being a leading figure for the reform, and he fought against simony, which is, you know, trying to sell you know, different holy objects, and you know, and also he enforced clerical celibacy. His papacy actually also led to or preceded the East-West Schism that we know in 1054. And this takes us to the last three popes, Pope Leo the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Leo the 11th, he was in just for less than a month, only 27 days. And he was back in 1605, and he was known as Papa Lampo, which means lightning pope. And then Leo the 12th, he was a conservative pope, and he reigned for like 6 years. He was a traditionalist. He promoted piety, and he, you know, was weakened with poor health. And that's when we have the more popular Leo the 13th from 1878 to 1903. And he's the one that's known as the warrior of social justice or social teaching. He wrote a specific encyclical that was called Rerum Novarum in 1891. He actually wrote 85 different encyclicals. So this is back then in the, you know, 1878 to 1903. They didn't have computers, right? Typewriters, as far as I remember, or know about. Not that I was from that age, but as far as I know, as far as the technology, who knows if they had typewriters back then? I'm not sure. And so that was one of the most important encyclicals. And so that was back in 1891. And what's also interesting, though, with that Leo the 13th relative to our new Pope Leo the 14th is, how does this Pope Leo the 14th want to be known as, right? Does he want to be following in this way of, you know, Catholic social teaching, or that just like Leo the 13th was, or does he want to follow Leo the 13th in his other encyclical, which is called Humanum Genus, and that was in 1884. And guess what that was about? That was condemning Freemasonry and secret societies. So I don't know if you've heard in the news, you know, there's all this different jockeying of trying to sway the electors, you know, before the conclave, you know, on both sides of the camp. In other words, left and right versus Orthodox and, you know, and unorthodox, or, you know, traditional Catholics or not, to see who's, you know, what type of pope could be, you know, garnered from this. There's not supposed to be any kind of, how shall I say, campaigning. However, you know, with the world the way it is, that doesn't stop different factions or different groups to try to woo the cardinal electors beforehand. So, you know, there's word that, you know, the Freemasons and secret societies and Illuminati, trying to have their way with the electors versus those on the other side of trying to sway who could be more traditional and orthodox into the teachings and so of the Catholic Church. And so there was word beforehand, well, could it be somebody like Cardinal Raymond Burke, or could it be somebody like Cardinal Urdu from Hungary, Peter Urdu, or could it be somebody like Cardinal Robert Sarra from Guinea? Or they were even thinking, you know, could it be some African pope or black pope, like, you know, continuing like Cardinal Sarra, but also there's one from Congo. I don't know his last name. I think it's called Basungu. And he really opposed Pope Francis. Then there's the Cardinal Peter Turkson, and I think he was from Ghana, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. But those were, you know, some of the black popes that they were looking into, or African popes. And then, of course, Wilton Gregory, as far as from D.C. And then there was that talk that was also a lot of favor for having that Chinese-Filipino Chinese-Filipino cardinal. His name is Cardinal Louis Tagli, and he was known as, you know, the Francis of Asia. So he was in the running too. So they didn't know who was going to be. In fact, when the white smoke came out, I think this was around 6 o'clock, Vatican time, that there was word on the news broadcast that they were thinking it was totally somebody that was unexpected, because again they were thinking about these other names I just mentioned, from Cardinal Tagle, who is known as the Francis of Asia, or one of the African popes, or even Cardinal Urdu, or the favorite was the Secretary of State, Cardinal Parolin. And so when the word was that, it's an Italian that is chosen. And here we have it. We have an American pope. So this is the first time we have an American pope, from North America, of course, in contrast to Pope Francis being a Latin American pope, whereas, you know, Pope John Paul was, you know, in Poland. So this breaks out of all the traditions that we have known in the past in the Catholic Church to have Italian popes. And so it's very rare to have this. And again, going back to these encyclicals of Pope Leo XIII, and comparing that to now, what will this new pope, Pope Leo XIV, do? How does he want to be known? Does he truly want to be known as the follower of Pope Francis, and especially when Pope Leo XIII is known for Catholic social teaching? Or is he going to be like Pope Leo XIV, where he's going to, you know, continue that condemnation of Freemasonry and secret societies, which some have said really was working behind the scenes of various papal conclaves, you know, just like how we have word in the news of, you know, the deep state or the deep church. And so what's this going to be? Well, we'll find out. I've looked up some different news reports and outlets, and I'm going to start reading some excerpts from that, because again, you know, this news just broke not too long ago today. And so again, I'm departing from my normal program, but I think this is just real exciting and very appropriate that we're going to go into knowing more about Pope Leo XIV. The other thing I wanted to share, that this pope is, you know, he studied canon law, and he is bilingual. And what was very interesting when he did speak to the people there at the piazza, you know, his first words in the Loggia of St. Peter's Basilica was, peace be with you. And that's beautiful, because that reminds me, you know, of how St. John Paul, how he said, do not to fear. And, You think about that. This is what Jesus said on Easter Sunday, right? When he went, appeared, and he resurrected from the dead. He went to the upper room, went through the door, the closed door in the upper room where the apostles were hiding. And they were hiding there because they were scared of also being put to death, because they just saw their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, crucified. So they were hiding in the upper room, and it was very secretive. And yet the Lord, of course, he knew where they were. He had his glorified body walk through the door, and his first words were, "Peace be with you." And that's, you know, that's shalom. And he said it twice because they were in shock. But also he wanted to calm them down because they're so scared. They betrayed Christ, except for St. John. And this is where the first words that Jesus had to calm his apostles down. And then he breathed on them and gave them the power to forgive sins, which is very paramount because only God can forgive sins. But since Jesus is God who defeated death by rising from the dead and paying for all our sins on Good Friday, he can delegate. He has the authority. God granted him the authority, and he delegated that authority to his apostles, and he had to forgive sins, which only God can do. And so, yes, the apostles and the successors of the apostles and the priests that were ordained by these bishops could forgive sins in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's God that forgives, but God does that through the priest that he gives us even to this current day. So this is really huge that, Pope Francis' successor, Pope Leo, starts off by saying, "Peace be with you." That's excellent, especially because we're here in the Easter season. We're approaching this weekend, which is the fourth Sunday of Easter. And the other thing is, the other quote that he said, he wanted to have dialogue, and have missionary evangelization. And so this is something that's very important, because when they were considering new popes, they were looking at Latin America, which is growing, and same with Africa. So nobody, I think, was even thinking that it'd be an American pope. It almost seemed like a taboo in the past, and here we have it. It totally caught everybody by surprise, I guess. And at the same time, how is this Pope Leo going to really, what is going to be his persona, his charism? Well, we know he's an Augustinian, so that's from St. Augustine, but he came out wearing the traditional red cape and the trappings of the papacy. Right now, remember when Pope Francis came out, when he was elected in 2013, it was unorthodox to say the least, right? He eschewed the red cape and the trappings of the papacy. And so this is where, here he's making, Pope Leo the 14th is making a break, at least with that. So we'll get to know what happens there. But he also, what was also neat as far as this, his quote, it said, "I would like to thank all my brother cardinals who have chosen me to be the successor of Peter and to walk together as a united church." I'm going to stop there. So again, there's some key words about, walking together and then being united. Of course, we want unity. And of course, we want to walk together. But there were some, key words not trigger words, but popular words out there that he was using. There could be other meanings, secondary meanings behind it. Like such as he was using the word, building bridges, which is reminiscent of, what Pope Francis was saying, that we should build bridges, not walls. So is he going to try to somebody that goes against the Trump administration with against immigration, the new immigration policies? And so we'll find out. And I'll go through some of the different quotes here as you all who are listening, whether you're driving in traffic right now or you're at home preparing meals or just listening and trying to enjoy something and be devoted listeners to Indian Sign Catholic Radio. But let's continue with this quote where he's thanking his brother cardinals and that they're hoping to walk together and be united, because there is a split. There is a split in as far as the mindset. We want unity for sure. So he goes on and says that it says, I would like to thank all my brothers and brother cardinals who have chosen me to be the successor of Peter and to walk together with you as a united church, always trying to find peace, justice, and always trying to work as men and women faithful to Jesus Christ without fear. Now, he was saying this in like near perfect Italian. And so he was speaking Italian in Spanish. And what's interesting as well, he didn't speak in English, you know, and also he read in Latin. So it was pretty impressive in that sense. He had the right accent and when he was speaking as in Italian and in Latin and Spanish. And so very, very impressive there. He almost seemed a little shy or reserved. But at the same time, we know he has a missionary background. He spent a lot of time in Peru. In fact, he has two citizenships, right? Dual citizenship as a U.S. citizen and also, I think, in Peru. One other quote here I wanted to bring out. He said, we must seek together to be a missionary church. And this actually is also very in line with our archbishop here in Philadelphia, Archbishop Nelson Perez, who used to be my pastor here at St. Agnes in Westchester. So we want to be a missionary church. We want to bring people into the church. We have, because there's what, only like 17% that goes to church now, whereas in Europe, it's in the single digits, dare I say, you know, 1-3% in whichever countries that may be. And so we don't want that to happen here in America. So that may be another reason why they chose Pope Leo the 14th here, you know, who's really from Chicago. And so he does say, you know, we must seek together to build a missionary church, a church that builds bridges, dialogue, and that is always open, like this piazza, to receive with open arms everyone, he says, who needs our charity, our presence, our dialogue, and love. And so, again, that's great. We need to build bridges at the same time that, you know, raises different thoughts about, you know, the book from, you know, Father James Martin, Building Bridges, and then how Pope Francis was, you know, saying things regarding immigration, where that we should build bridges, not walls. So, again, we'll see which way this Pope will be taking these words in what direction, right? I mean, we think back of Pope Francis, how, you know, he really didn't want to be giving a lot of speeches. In fact, he didn't want to speak on the airplane. But as we know, that was pretty much a common occurrence for him, speaking during his plane flights. So things can change. We'll see. And hopefully it'll all be for the better for our entire Catholic church, not only in America, but also, you know, the whole world. It is amazing and that he really has local roots here in Philadelphia, going to the Villanova University. Now, I'm going to kind of switch over here and try to scroll through some of the different articles that I called before the program. And then we're going to take a little break. But so right now we got, I wanted to show that, you know, with Cardinal. Before that, I'm going to do that after the break. So what I'm going to do here is just, I'm going to go into some of the different reasons why this particular Pope was chosen. And so from what I found out was, again, now, I would love to hear from the various American cardinals, you know, like Cardinal Dolan and, you know, other cardinals to get their take on what had happened. And when the smoke came out, I know it was past 6 o'clock, so in Vatican time. So I think this was during the was it the fourth ballot? So yesterday was the first ballot. They had the second and third this morning, and then I think it was the fourth ballot that again, you guys can, you know, anybody can correct me if I'm wrong. We just have to look that up. I didn't search the internet yet, but it seems to me, just based on the timing, that it might have happened during the fourth ballot. That means early afternoon our time here, versus late afternoon would be the fifth ballot. So the fourth ballot is very key, because that's when the other two popes were selected, whereas the fifth ballot, the late afternoon ballot, that's when Jorge Bergoglio was chosen versus Pope Benedict, and I think Pope John Paul was chosen in the early afternoon, the fourth ballot. So there was great anticipation today that it was either going to be the early afternoon or they made the selection, not blowing the white smoke, but making the selection there. And so it happened. Yeah, it could have been this afternoon, and it was. So let me see here. I'm just scrolling through some of the articles and trying to see what I can share with you all. And so what I'm finding out here, as far as Pope Leo the 14th is, you know, one of the big reasons, well, we'll save that. But again, we had 133 cardinals, right? That was available to elect this pope, and they needed 89, which is a 2/3 majority vote, and they got that, of course. And we'd like to know, you know, who was the other leading candidate. But here we have, you know, Cardinal Robert Francis. He's 69 years old, and that you can tell that he was actually he's holding back the tears. I don't know if he saw that. So he, you know, like he was wearing his white papal cassock, wearing the and having and choking back. He was holding back tears. And so it really did affect him. And he was, like I said, apparently shy to a certain degree. And that when he made these remarks, that he also said something that was very he wanted to be close to those who suffered. And I think that should ring really well to us, especially those of us who listen to these programs here. Not that you're suffering by listening to me. Now, that's not what I'm trying to drive at. It's that many people call in for prayers and healing and for inspiration and hope, that a lot of people call because there's something that they're suffering from, or they have a loved one who's suffering, and call into Kathleen McCarthy's program and other programs, or they call in to our First Friday programs that me and Mike Altshuler have. And so, again, this is something that this Pope is really putting at the forefront, that he wants to be close to those who suffered. Well, we're at the bottom of the break right now, bottom of the hour. Let's take a little break, and then when you come back, we'll get into some of these articles that I found that we can talk about from like the AP Press and from the Beast and from other place, the Guardian, and I'll share some of their views on that. So let's take a break, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And you're listening to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we're signed by the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered by the Our Father prayer. We were, the first half hour, we were talking about our new Pope, Habemus Papam. We have a Pope. It's Pope Leo XIV, who was Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, originally from Chicago, and went to school at Villanova University. He's the first American Pope, and that he is somebody that was a big surprise to everybody. And so I wanted to go through the reasons why some people think that this is a great choice versus what are some possible negatives. And I'm going to try to cull some of this opinions from the various newspapers and other sources. And so one big part of this, it seems, is that because he had deep ties to Latin America, that this helps build that bridge of diverse cultures and also the global church. And so essentially he has global representation. So he knows Latin America. Also, he was put in charge in some very key positions by Pope Francis. The other thing is, you know, he comes from a religious order, the Augustinian, and he was in charge of the Augustinian order. He was the prior general. And so he brings a spiritual tradition that really emphasizes community and humility. And so, you know, different people who want to be Augustinian, they go there, from what I've learned from speaking to some of them, some of the priests, Augustinian priests here at Villanova University. And we had some here that was stationed in Westchester here at St. Agnes, you know, that they really were looking for that community. And so this is what Robert Francis Prevost, Pope Leo XIV, has as his background. Also that, you know, he has an extensive pastoral and administrative experience. So 2 decades as a missionary, and he served as a bishop in Peru. Like I said earlier, he has dual citizenship. He has, you know, deep pastoral experience. And he also led the Vatican's dicastery for bishops, and he oversaw global episcopal appointments. So those bishops who were appointed throughout the world, he oversaw that. And then the big one is that he aligned with Pope Francis's vision. So, you know, he has, you know, regarding social justice, in environmental stewardship, inclusivities. And so this seemed to align with Pope Francis's bishop. And recall that, you know, the of the 133 electors, cardinal electors, 80% of that was appointed by Francis. And there were very few was remaining from Pope John Paul II and then from Pope Benedict. So it was tipped towards that with, you know, for Pope Francis. So you would think it'd be somebody that Pope Francis had chosen, and it was, of course. And at the same time, you would think it'd be somebody that would follow his viewpoints. But again, we'll see, because like I said, this Pope came out dressed in the attire of prior popes versus compared to Pope Francis. So we'll see what happens. And so now going down further, as far as any concerns, and I'll get to some specific quotes or sources here. So like, you know, as far as there's like ambiguity in women's roles, right? So that might be something that other people want as far as the inclusivity. So he's ambiguous with that. And also, you know, there might be some political polarization because views on immigration that would go against what the Trump administration has. And so there's that negative aspect from, you know, that point of view, as far as not having that unity. And then also there's what I'm trying to find out is his views on life or pro-life. So I'm scrolling around trying to see here where some of these quotes are that we have of what he said. I know that he had some tweets there, and it seemed mixed. It seems like on one side of it, he was like for it, and another one was he was questioning. So I, you know, just doing a brief scan of the you know, what he tweeted, it seems, you know, questionable. So here I found one where it says that, you know, we know that Pope Francis, you know, typically avoided highlighting things with reproductive health, but Pope Francis was critical about surrogacy and voiced concerns about IVF. And so, whereas we know, you know, Trump is in favor of in vitro fertilization, but we should know the Catholic teaching, right, that that the Catholic Church does not hold, you know, support that in looking at that as immoral. And also, of course, we know the Catholic teaching as far as abortion, contraception, sterilization, euthanasia, is where, you know, the Catholic Church upholds life. So it would be against any of that, that it goes against life. All right. So let me find here as far as the other sources. It looks like he has a conservative stance on LGBTQ issues, and that there's also concerns on sexual abuse allegations where, like, how was that handled? Now, I'm in no position to say whether it was right or wrong. I don't know any of that. I'm just looking at some of the concerns that they were having as far as, you know, because, you know, things that we know about people, we don't know what happens later on, you know, how they handled things. I mean, let's look at what happened in Jesus's time, right? Jesus is the one specifically that chose the 12 apostles, and he specifically chose Judas. And he knew what was going to happen in the future, yet he chose Judas, the one who betrayed him. And we also know from the scripture that St. John, in his gospel, that we find out that Judas is the one that carried the money bag, and that it seemed that he was the one that would dip into it and steal from that. And so at one point, if, you know, one could say that if the apostles knew then what did they do about it? I don't think they would condone it, but at the same time, they knew it. So Scripture doesn't actually delve into it and say, oh, they condoned it and they knew about it and did nothing. We are just told that after the fact, when John wrote this in the year 90-something, or, you know, he died in the year 100. So when he wrote, you know, the gospel on Revelation, I'm thinking it was in those year 90-something A.D. I could be wrong on that. I know Revelation was in that time. Maybe St. John the Apostle wrote the gospel earlier. But my point, it was sometime after Jesus died in year 33 that he's looking back and he's informing the readers that Judas, you know, held the money bag and he would, you know, get money from there. So one could question or wonder, well, did they condone it? I don't think so, personally. I think they knew about it. But just like Jesus, you know, would tell people when he would heal somebody, and that's a good thing, you know, and so he wouldn't tell people not to tell about a bad thing. Of course, Jesus would do only what's right. But when he healed, he would tell people not to spread that news. So that would be called, you know, the messianic secret. Because he didn't want to have his hour before its time. He would be arrested and then put to death earlier before completing his mission on earth. And so he would tell people, but yet these same people he healed would spill the beans, and people would then that would cause him to go in hiding, because people would either want him to make him a political king, or they would accuse him of, like the Pharisees accusing him of healing on the Sabbath and working for the devil because he exercised people. I mean, they didn't see the good in that. So Jesus, when he did such good things, he was telling people to be quiet. I highly, you know, he wouldn't ever tell people not to say anything for doing something bad, right? And so he forgives people. So we don't know what happened at the time when Judas was stealing. Maybe it wasn't known to the apostles at that time that he was stealing. It was like after the fact. Is my point. So just like here, somebody could mistaken, well, you know, how does Pope Leo the 14th, how was he back when he was, in Chicago, when he was in bishop in Chiclayo, Peru? That's where he was tenured. Chiclayo, in my eyesight may be going, it looked like it was Chicago. Chiclayo in Peru. Back in 2022. So what, you know, there's questions about that. I'll just leave it at there. So the concerns are, you know, how did he deal with sexual abuse? You know, what's his concern? What's his view on LGBTQ? What about women's role? Is he going to be somebody that is going to cause more polarization, you know, in the United States? Is this one of the reasons why the secretive powers that be wanted this particular pope to counter Trump? We don't know. These are all conjectures. But also, when you search long enough on the internet, you'll see various postulations about why he was selected, both good and bad. And that's why I was just trying to bring out here. I'm not trying to spark a controversy, but what I'm trying to do is to give a fair assessment. Or a fair information on both sides to see, well, what's going to happen, and only time will tell. And this is where we need to, as Catholic Christians, to really be prayerful. The Pope has so much pressure, and it's unbearable. And this is part of the reason why you Catholics out there who pray the Rosary, pray for him, but also when we pray for the Pope, we say the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the glory be for the intentions of the Pope. We want to make sure that we have his back, Again, it's, you know, the devil wants to destroy the Catholic Church. The devil wants us to lose our faith. And even in the Catechism, there is this prophecy that we're, you know, so many people are going to fall for a deception, that we're going to fall for some apparent solution, and it's going to lead us astray to apostatize. In other words, not stand up for our faith, to deny our faith. So this is part of the reason here that, you know, on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, that I want to encourage you all that it was through Jesus's cross, his suffering, passion, and death, that we sign ourselves in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that we call upon the Lord Jesus to help us, you know, fight the spiritual warfare in our life, the different battles. You know, we're all suffering one way or another, whether it's physical or mentally, emotionally, financially. There's problems with marriage with our children, work, and disability. And so we all need our Lord Jesus Christ, and also to pray for each other, pray for the Pope. And at the same time, when we are, you know, signed with the cross of Christ, that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We can get all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all seven of them. And these are gifts that all we need to do is ask. The Lord says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And we'll get all of these seven gifts. And I don't know if you realize this, when we go to confession, we are we're restored back in grace. In other words, we have sanctifying grace. And if we would die at that moment, we would go to heaven, considering if we have no venial sins, you know, we go, you know, or any temporal punishments to pay for in purgatory, we can go straight to heaven. And that we, when we get, when we confess, we get all the seven gifts, but it's all with different proportions, depending on how much you want, that the Lord will see that you need, and that how much you can develop. So there's a lot of factors to see, like, how, you know, which of the seven, and let me just quickly tell you the seven gifts. So when you do go to confession, you do remember, you will get these seven gifts. It's up to you and up to God, like how much you, what's the proportion, I should say. So the highest gift, and I'm going to say from highest to lowest, the highest gift is wisdom, you know, which helps you know the will of God. And then understanding. And then counsel. Counsel is the third gift, which is supernatural common sense, if you will. So there's some people that have worldly common sense. Well, the word counsel, I'm not talking about somebody who's a counselor, like a lawyer or a psychologist or a therapist who is a counselor. I'm talking about to have counsel with spiritual common sense, that you see things beyond that is going to affect us so we can do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. And then the fourth gift is fortitude or courage, that you'll have the courage and bravery to speak out for God and for love of him and for his sake. And then the fifth gift is knowledge. Now, this is different knowledge. It's not worldly knowledge, scientific knowledge, as good as that may be. It's actually, again, supernatural knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit. So you'll know, be able to weigh what's really good, true, and beautiful that would help love God, love neighbor. And then the sixth gift of the Holy Spirit is piety. So I see many of you who are good listeners here and come on or at the different conferences, Kathy McCarthy, that I see you're so devoted in your prayer and your rosary or the different novenas or different Marian devotions or apparitions, whether it's you know, Our Lady of Fatima or Our Lady of Lourdes and so forth. And so you can see you all have those gifts of piety. And then there's the gift of the seventh and final one is fear of the Lord, which is actually the beginning of wisdom, if you have fear of the Lord. And this fear is something that's not like servile fear, like a servant would fear its master, where you do things because you're scared of being punished. It's not the fear that, oh, no, I'm scared of that God's going to punish me or send me to hell. No, it's the positive fear of the Lord, where you love and respect him. You love him so much that you dare not make him unhappy. You want to make him happy. So you have the love. You do things for the love of God and for the sake of God, not out of your own sake or your own, for your own self-love. So it's really for the love of God and for his sake. Now, these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So when we pray, we should pray for the Pope that, you know, all these gifts are going to emanate from him to the highest extent. Yeah, he has it, of course, and he is the vicar of Christ, the representative. And so this is why we, you know, pray for the Pope and do so when you get the plenary indulgence. Or you do these various rosaries. And speaking of plenary indulgence, here with the next few minutes we have left, you know, the Pope gave his Urbi et Orbi address, where he gave a blessing, you know, to all of us. And you can get a plenary indulgence, meaning that if you follow the contingencies, or like praying for the Pope, and listening to this Urbi et Orbi blessing, and that you're detached from sin and you get communion and confession, that this would lead to a plenary. Now, what I am unsure about, that's the normal way of getting the plenary of doing these five things that I just mentioned. I'm assuming that getting this papal blessing is the work that one needs to do. And what do I mean by that? Normally, we can get a plenary indulgence if we pray a rosary, you know, with a group, you know, out loud, or we do adoration for a half an hour, or we read the Bible for a half an hour, or pray the Stations of the Cross. Here, the Pope gives this Urbi et Orbi, meaning the world, Urbi means the city, I believe, that he gives this plenary indulgence. So I think that we still have to do those other four things: confession, communion, pray for the Pope, and then be detached from sin. So anyway, so what we know here, I'm looking at The Guardian right now, and I'm not, doesn't mean when I'm finding these sources that I am, you know, a subscriber or that I recommend. This is some that's just coming up as I'm scrolling here, that, it says, you know, that they didn't think that anybody, of course, like I had mentioned earlier, we'd have an American Pope, but here we do. And it looks like various people were, you know, like from Obama reached out and was very proud of how they have a Pope from America, but especially from Chicago. And so, you know, that's very important to know, that we have support there. You know, the President Trump also reaching out and very proud of this happening. And that also just brings to mind, you know, that tweet there when Trump showed his picture of a pope, you know, him dressed up as a pope, and you know, many people took that negatively. And on the other side about it, could it be looked at as, you know, a premonition of an American Pope? And here we have an American Pope. You know, it depends on how you want to look at it, right? I don't know. That was just something I saw scrolling down here. So here are some of what was summarized in The Guardian, as far as it says that President Trump said he was surprised, but that it was a great honor to have an American Pope, and that world leaders from several countries, from Italy, Spain, Greece, Ukraine, Peru, the United Kingdom, all offered their congratulations. And that going down further, that you know, that this election was celebrated all across Latin America, especially Peru, because he's kind of the way they look at it, it says here he's like a second Latin American pope. That's, you know, and it makes me wonder, is he going to visit Peru? As far as I understand, Pope Francis, he was from Argentina, but I don't think he visited Argentina. I know he traveled all everywhere, but I don't know. They said, here's the quote that they said, this pope is Peruvian. God loves Peru. So, yeah, he holds a Peruvian citizenship, and you know, it says that he lived and worked in that country on three separate occasions since the 1980s. And with a period in Chicago back in the early 2000s, and then he left Peru in 2023 when he was appointed to a position in the Vatican. And so, you know, he spoke again to from Italian to Spanish, and you know, he actually addressed the people in Peru as his beloved diocese of Chiclayo, and so where he was the bishop for over a decade. And these are just really some great words that was said by this pope, and it's exciting. We'll just see what's going to happen. It's always exciting to have someone new, and to give them the benefit of the doubt, even though I just raise points or issues of concern, but also same points of why he would be good. Depends on our point of view. Right. God knows, and even said, like he was asked by the apostles, you know, about, you know, the wheat and the chaff, like, should they go pull out the wheat? I mean, the chaff. And the Lord said, you know, leave them there until essentially the end of the world. And I'm grossly paraphrasing, where his angels are going to be able to help sort all this out. So in this world, there's going to be good and bad, and God can take whatever is bad and make it for the good. So we just hope that whatever happens here, good or bad, that God, you know, there's that saying that, that everything turns out for good for all those who love him. And that's, you know, I don't have that quote exact, but that's the sentiment. Again, this is very exciting. I don't know how many encyclicals he's going to end up writing, or what's his first encyclical, just helping you remember that his predecessor, Leo XIII, wrote 85 encyclicals. And again, how is he going to be known as, really, for the social justice, which seems to be what's being promoted there in the news, versus, or is he going to be, you know, condemning the secret societies and Freemasonry, or is he going to be, you know, talking about reviving Thomistic philosophy, St. Thomas's philosophy? There was one encyclical called Aeterni Patris, and so he was really a proponent of the philosophy of St. Thomas. So it really depends. Or is he going to talk about being a wise Christian, Sapientiae Christianae, and where he talks about the duties of a Christian citizen? Because we have to think about it here. Although he's an American pope, our citizenship is heaven. So that's who we really belong. We're Catholic Christians. We're Catholic. We're Christians. We belong to God. That's to his kingdom. So it's one thing to say he's American pope, you know, or he's an American Catholic, versus that we all just Catholic, right? We're Christian. We are known by our love, and that's what we should do. Anyway, brothers and sisters, we're at the top of the hour now, 6 o'clock. I thank you for listening to me, and we praise God for a new pope, and we hope for the best. God bless you all for being here with me, and hope you have a great rest of the day as we approach the fourth Sunday of Easter. So God bless you now.